Okay, we are looking at some really urgent cybersecurity developments today. Really a critical moment.
Yeah, definitely. Our sources point to a mandatory federal move, but honestly, the kicker is that just patching like usual, it might not be enough this time.
Right. So we're going deep today on these new Cisco Zero Days, this sort of mind-boggling scale of infrastructure abuse, and some really targeted supply chain hits on developers.
Exactly. And our mission here is to pull out the key details, the stuff you actually need to know. We're sort of defining what cyber defense needs to look like now. It's moving past just patching.
So let's jump right into that immediate fire drill. 2 0 days in Cisco's core gear, the ASA and FTD firewalls, they're being actively exploited.
Right. CVE 2025-2333 and CVE 2025-2362. And yeah, like you said, this isn't just your standard Patch Tuesday warning.
It's way beyond that, it sounds like.
It is. It's severe enough that CISA, that's the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, they put out an emergency directive,
It's an
2501.
emergency directive. Okay, that's serious.
It is. Mandatory for U.S. federal agencies. They need to inventory all affected systems. But here's the really crucial bit. They have to take forensic memory images first, then patch unaffected devices. Deadline is sharp. 12 p.m. EDT today.
Wait, hold on. Forensic images? Why? For years, the advice has been patch, patch, patch. Why isn't just updating the software good enough here?
Yeah, good question. It's because the attackers aren't just breaking in, they're planning to stay. They're using really sophisticated persistent stuff,
Like what?
like the Ray Initiator bootkit and this Line Viper loader. This isn't your run-of-the-mill malware. A bootkit, well, it embeds itself so deep it can survive reboots and even firmware upgrades. So patching a compromised system doesn't actually kick them out. You have to do the forensic work first to see if they've already set up shop permanently inside the device.
Okay, that completely changes the game for cleanup. It's not just about closing the door. You have to check if someone's already hiding inside.
Exactly. Shifts the whole defensive approach.
So if that's the kind of persistence we're seeing in visible gear, let's talk about something designed for invisibility, Vein Viper, also called Omnatchwerver.
Ah, yes. The scale there is just, well, it's hard to grasp. We're talking about an ad fraud and malvertising network that generated something like 1 trillion DNS requests over the past year.
A trillion. That number itself is staggering.
It is, but the number is the technique. That massive volume is camouflage. It's how they hide the real payload deliveries malware within this gigantic flood of seemingly legit, though fraudulent, ad traffic.
So they're mixing poison into an ocean of noise. And how do they maintain that scale?
It's pretty complex. They use tens of thousands of shell companies constantly renting and discarding domains at high speed.
Domain churning.
Right. Plus, they're really good at abusing browser features, things like push notification permissions, service workers, stuff meant to be helpful.
How does that work for them?
Well, once you allow notifications from one of their sites, maybe accidentally, they can keep pushing malicious links or redirects to you long after you've left the site. They weaponize browser persistence.
Okay, that's incredibly insidious. Let's shift gears slightly to attacks that are less about scale and more about precision.
Yeah.
The supply chain, especially for developers.
Yes, this is a huge weak spot. Researchers recently found two malicious Rust crates. Those reusable code packages developers often use.
Yeah, like libraries.
Exactly. Called FasterLog and AsyncPrintlin, they looked like useful logging tools. Thousands of downloads, 8,424 times, I think.
And the trap wasn't obvious.
Not at all. The malicious part didn't trigger when the developer compiled the code. It waited until runtime.
So when the developer's actual application was running.
Precisely. Then, this hidden code would scan the developer's own source files on their machine, specifically hunting for private keys for Solana and Ethereum cryptocurrencies.
Ouch. And if it found them?
It immediately sent them out, exfiltrated them, using an HTTP POST request to a hard-coded command and control server. Just uploads the keys directly to the attackers.
That's incredibly targeted. And speaking of targeting developers, we're also seeing nation-state activity here, right?
We are. Groups aligned with North Korea. They track them under names like Deceptive Development seem to be going after crypto and Web3 developers globally.
What are they using?
A new backdoor called ActorT. What's notable is that it works across Windows, Linux, and Mac OS. So, multi-platform.
Versatile. What's the likely goal there? More key theft.
Probably accessing code repositories,
Yeah.
maybe developer infrastructure itself, it could be keys, or maybe manipulating the code signing process, getting deeper into that development pipeline. It really underscores how vital it is to lock down those dev environments.
Okay, so pulling this all together, What's the takeaway for everyone listening trying to manage their security?
Well, I think today's threats really hammer home a few points. First, patching is necessary, but it's not sufficient anymore. You need that deep forensic review, especially for critical gear, to check for persistence.
Right, the bootkit problem.
Exactly. Second, you've got to watch out for those massive, weird DNS anomalies. Huge traffic spikes might be camouflage, like with Vein Viper.
And finally,
secure those developer pipelines. The threat isn't just bad code getting compiled, it's malicious code activating at runtime to steal secrets or compromise the build process itself.
It's a lot to think about. Patching, forensics, DNS monitoring, pipeline security.
It really is. And maybe the final thought to leave you with, considering that CISA directive and things like the reinitiator bootkit, if malware can install itself persistently, surviving reboots and even upgrades, how much can we really trust our traditional methods of cleaning up? If just applying an update doesn't guarantee a device is truly secure, what does network defense need to guarantee now? Something to really mull over this week.